Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers, and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, episode 16, the BT Sports Special, with me, Tim, with JB.
Hi, Tim.
And with Phil.
Hi, Tim.
The BT Sports Special, because what you're going to be hearing on this podcast is Ben Kay and Austin Healy and Paul Grayson, and general behind-the-scenes action from our time when we got invited down to the filming of Rugby Tonight at BT Sport last Wednesday, which was an entertaining little jaunt, wasn't it?
Very nice indeed.
It almost didn't happen, didn't it? Did it, JB? Almost didn't.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that we were going to BT Sport, so I booked in a bunch of appointments, and luckily we just about made it out.
So then when you'd rejuggled your appointments, you then decided you'd be casual, just like, you know, cook up a four-course lunch, build a chicken coop, while me and Phil were at his house waiting for you to turn up.
Sorry, Tim.
Thanks to Phil's car going the normal speed down the M1 and the M6, we got there just about on time.
Yeah. We got there loads of time. Well, we got there for 4 o'clock. We could have got there for 6 o'clock and still be fine.
I quite enjoyed being there for
those couple of extra hours.
And JB decided to call shotgun and sit in the passenger seat and then be the perfect wingman by falling asleep the whole way.
Almost immediately fell asleep.
So we arrived in the shadow of the Olympic Stadium and went on into BT Sport. Now, for a professional broadcaster, the reception wasn't quite what you'd expect, was it?
No, I believe I referred to it as looking like the Baghdad Ritz, post-bombing, mid-looting, I'd say. Mid-looting. Yeah, there wasn't pre-peace.
There wasn't much. That there was a desk, hideous orange sofa, and then like scaffolding and exposed services and brickwork.
The studios themselves, when you get in behind the reception, were fantastic. And standing on that Rugby Tonight set and everything, and on the pitch, which you were pretty taken with, the neon blue line markings, Phil.
Yeah, it was lovely. And the way that they can switch it between sports. So I saw it a couple of days later, they had a basketball court and all.
Within 10 minutes of being at the BT Sports Studios, and they basically gave us our own green room and said, off you go, boys, you know, make yourselves at home, go anywhere, and we'll bring Ben Kay, Austin Healy and various others to you, which you'll hear in a bit. But within 10 minutes of being there, JB had decided to go and stand by one of the boards as Austin Healy and Matt Dawson were prepping for the show later, and decided to tell them that they'd got all the Welsh players wrong.
One of the things which impressed me the most, actually, is their rugby knowledge. They're very, very knowledgeable and very, very good pundits. But between all of them, they had no idea about Welsh rugby. They hadn't got a clue.
That made three of you then, with you.
I wasn't that clued in.
But basically, JB managed to blag his way to become a Welsh fan and expert.
Yeah, I think as an expert, in the definition of you know more than the next person, I'm definitely not an expert.
So basically, what you're going to hear later, and if you watch Rugby Tonight last Wednesday, which, well, at the time we're recording this, last Wednesday being the 8th of January, if you watch that one, the piece at the end that Sarah Elgin did talking about Welsh rugby, the two people in the crowd that you saw talking about it were JB, and because he roped in Tweedledum, Phil as well, who were their resident Welsh experts. So you're going to hear that a little bit later on in the podcast. What you're also going to hear is Paul Grayson. And right now, what you're going to hear is when we had a chat with Ben Kay and Austin Healy. All right, then. So it's the halfway point in the Premiership season. We picked a top four on the way down here in the car, and we all agreed on three. We couldn't agree on the fourth one. Northampton, Saracens, Bath. And would you go with those three and one other? And if so, who?
I'd go with those three at the moment.
Yeah, we always put four down at the start of the season, and I put those four down and Leicester in fourth. So
you pre-picked Leicester in fourth at the start of the season?
Yeah.
Because that's the way it's looking. Well, it'd be them or Quinns, or Jay thinks Exeter.
I don't think Exeter will finish fourth.
No.
I think their away form isn't quite good enough. Home form, yes, but not against the top four sides. They're unlikely to beat at home any of those top four teams. That's why.
Did you put any money on that? That's looking at...
We're not allowed to gamble here at BT Sport. We're a very wholesome business.
But if you had to put money on...
What odds would I have got?
Really good odds.
I agree with Leicester probably, just because there's that much pressure on them to get to fourth. I think they would sort of feel the pressure from the board and the fans if they didn't qualify for the playoffs. But I think it's vitally important that they get some of their injuries back, particularly Anthony Allen, I think, is the guy that's been missing. He was down in the initial reports that he might play last weekend, but he didn't quite make it. So the impact he can have when he comes back is big, but you know, it's a lot of pressure on one guy that we've all been saying he's the reason Leicester haven't been ticking.
If Leicester don't make fourth, do you think there's going to be pressure on Cockle?
Not after you've just signed a five-year contract, no, unless they want to have a big payoff.
Look, I don't think there would be this year, purely because of his record over the last few seasons in getting to the final.
Because Leicester have got to 8 out of the last 9 Premiership finals, haven't they? Or just,
nine, out of, 9 out of 10.
Is it 9 out of 10?
It's the last 9.
9 of 10. Just said that.
No, last 9.
All of the last 9.
Well, if you go to 10,
if you go, 9
if you go
nine.
As far as 10, but 9 out of 9, yeah.
It seems like you two could probably do with a couple of rounds in the ring or something. Out of your BT Sport...
Austin's not got a round ring anymore.
out of your BT Sport colleagues, who would you most and least like to get in the ring with? If we said you've got to,
charity.
Well, you've got to get in the ring with one, and you haven't got to get in the ring with the other. That was a question, was it? Okay. I'd go for getting in the ring with Sarah. She's smaller than me. Give her a right kicking. And not get in the ring. Probably Bafes, actually, because he's the biggest.
Yeah.
Although you would see a punch coming, wouldn't you, when his arms are literally as long as my entire body.
You definitely see it going. Well, you can stop it. Who knows?
I've had a taste of getting into the ring with Austin when Austin decided it'd be a really good idea to let me basically put some gloves on, and he would avoid me for 60 seconds. He was convinced he'd be able to do it.
And
about a millisecond in, he started swinging back because the look of panic on his face.
He cheated and punched me in the face before the bell went.
The look of panic on his face, and it was possibly the most enjoyable minute of my life. sorry to my wife.
And that's not a minute. That's never a minute.
But I would love more. I would love a full bout with Austin. The person I'd least like to get into the ring for a full bout would be Austin, because he would whinge and moan so much
after beating you. Why don't we have a UFC octagon?
Oh yeah.
There you go.
We can organise that. Great.
Phil, one thing that's been on our podcast is something we could do called Rugby Oki.
Yeah, so we like to celebrate rugby players singing.
Quite a lot of them do.
Yeah, I'm amazed at how many do. So during any initiations or any other time, have you done any singing, and what did you choose?
Was that the England initiation?
I was on the coach, first cap.
What was your song?
I sang Molly Malone.
I love the coach.
Molly Malone I sang in Dublin.
Good choice. I sang Green Green Grass of Home.
You're rubbing your eyes as you say that. Is it bad?
No. Good memories. And I've also sung Elvis twice dressed up. Well, more than that now, but because Austin asked me to do it at one of his events. But I had a ladies' night, so I did a Elvis Presley impersonation at it in front of...
In his later years, I take it.
In front of 2,000... Yeah, white jumpsuit. The white jumpsuit. 2,000 screaming women, probably for the wrong reason. They were screaming, and
how tight was the jumpsuit?
that was screaming.
There's a surprising number of people around in your England era who have had successful media careers and commentary and punditry and stuff like that. Out of the players you played with, who would be the last person you would expect to be picking up a BT Sport microphone or standing in front of the camera?
Most of them, to be perfectly honest. I mean, they've all surprised me with their... varying levels of success, both in media and in business. The one who surprised me the most is Leon Lloyd.
Yeah,
he's chief executive of a big company, which is going places, and he's at the helm of that. Now, that's the one that surprised me the most. I mean, come on, Leon. We used to sit in the changing room together making up songs, and you weren't
Leon
very good
Lloyd,
with words.
Was once used as a distraction to talk to me, whilst one of my rugby friends knelt down behind me and then pushed me over.
I thought you said we couldn't swear or tell any stories like that on here.
You absolutely can.
Who's the biggest surprise on BT Sport? It's got to be Dawes, hasn't it, really? He'd not got a face for TV.
There's a big AO picture of him out there.
Oh, it's a good picture, that. It's very flattering.
That's not his best angle.
That doubles as security at night.
and the satellite dish bounces the signals.
Now, we actually think that one of the best pundits outside of BT Sport, obviously, is Will Greenwood. So who would you trade?
I'd trade Austin for Will, definitely.
Do you reckon Sky would do that?
Yeah, it's got to be a realistic trade. You can't just throw anyone.
No. we're throwing Dawson as well.
So you think Will's that good that you'd trade both of us for him?
It's pretty good.
Well, Dawson is touch and go, but if I had to make up the numbers.
I just generally think it's quite easy for Will to stand out on that channel.
Yeah, that's a... I think we might have made a similar point a few times.
Oh, amazing.
As you used to say, you know, if you go to the fruit bowl and they're all bruised, but one's not that badly bruised, which apple do you eat?
Yeah, we originally thought half of Martin Bayfield, but, you know, maybe you endorse.
I think out of all the other channels, guys that are pretty good, I like Jonathan Davis. I think he's always been pretty good and very well balanced. Most of the time. And who else do I think is pretty good? I actually like listening to Eddie Butler.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I've worked with Eddie on the BBC, and he's great to listen to. Makes tons of mistakes, but he's really good to listen to.
He makes a great pre-game montage.
Yeah, his
voice.
He's very good on those.
A good rousing voice.
Mark Regan, just for comedy effect.
Oh, no, you did. That takes us back to another question. I mean, he's probably out of that World Cup squad, the person who's, you know, not been successful at all in his future life.
Here, Babs.
What are you saying about me?
You've got eight ambassadorships.
I'm saying you stupid, Babs, and you're not very clever, which is the same thing.
Could I be really cheeky and ask for a tongue-in-cheek line at
Who's cheek?
Show?
This. Oh, you had to mention it, didn't you? Okay. Hi, I'm Ben Kay. When I'm not dropping balls over try lines in World Cup finals, I'm downloading the latest Egg Chasers rugby podcast.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Ben. You've got a choice, Oz.
Okay. Hi, I'm Austin Healy, and it's time to clear a few things up on the Egg Chasers podcast.
I'm Kay.
I have not had a hair transplant.
The Advanced Hair Studios advert.
I advertised a shampoo for them.
Right.
Unfortunately, Graham Gooch had a hair transplant, as did a variety of other people who you can see on their website. I advertised a shampoo, which made your hair thicker. There's a slight difference.
It hasn't worked for you either, son.
Hasn't worked for you. My hair's all right. At least it's still there, Ben, and not on my arse like you with you.
Well, I apologise for my lack of research.
And another thing to clear up, when I'm not winding up Welsh fans on Twitter, I'm downloading the latest Egg Chasers rugby podcast. I don't think I've ever wound up the Welsh fans.
They get wound up.
The trolls that react. And unfortunately, there's millions of them in Wales.
Not many of them have Twitter.
And then finally, the other thing to clear up when I'm listening to the Egg Chasers rugby podcast, when I'm not plotting the perfect crime to kill Matt Dawson. Me and Dawson have been roommates for years. If I wanted to kill him, I would have done it years and years ago.
Yeah. You've taken him to the brink a couple of times. He woke up with a sore bum, but apart from that.
Ben Kay and Austin Healy, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That was Ben Kay and Austin Healy on the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast having a natter to us. Austin Healy is genuinely really sharp.
Yeah.
Oh, he's incredible. It's not a cliche when people say, oh, well, Austin's Austin. No, Austin is Austin. There isn't like, he doesn't say time off or any such thing. He is just like that.
All the time as well. Like, even when he's just messing him out. Yeah, messing him out with some of the crew production guys.
He had a bit of an issue with some of those liners that we tried to get him to read. But due to the wonders of editing, I can actually make him say them how I wanted him to say them anyway.
Oh, so, can we hear them?
Yeah, you can. When you just delete the bits where he's complaining at what we wrote, and you just leave what we wanted him to say.
Ben Kay is ace. Ben Kay is like... He's like Austin Healy's minder. That's basically what he is.
Hi, I'm Austin Healy, and when I'm not plotting the perfect crime to kill Matt Dawson, I'm downloading the latest Egg Chasers rugby podcast.
Just makes it sound like that is what he's saying.
Yeah, right? That was a very clean
very
edit.
Good, Tim. Very good.
Hi, I'm Austin Healy. When I'm not winding up Welsh fans on Twitter, I'm downloading the latest Egg Chasers rugby podcast.
It is true.
I mean, it's funny that we used that. We wrote that little liner down because it was only a day after we were there, and Austin Healy and Nigel Owens were having a bit of a spat, weren't they, on Twitter?
I saw this, right, and I don't think it's quite... I think it developed into a spat. I don't think one of them meant what they said.
I think a lot of it's actually been deleted because I tried to go back because Austin Healy like blocked Nigel Owens to finish it off.
Did he?
Yeah.
So what basically was the gist? Who was slagging off who first?
It's something about refereeing decisions, okay? And then I think Austin Healy said it's much harder to play international rugby than it is to ref international rugby. And
yeah.
Nigel Owens said, have you tried either or something like that?
Yeah, have you tried doing both?
Yeah. And then that was it, really. But there's only one...
No, there was a lot of, like...
I only saw, like...
Snapping at each other and very quickly responding with a bit of a comeback.
Oh, really? Oh, no, yeah. I didn't see all of it. But there again, who has tried both? The only guy I can think of is...
Glenn Jackson,
yeah.
I would say Nigel Owens is world-class at refereeing. Awesome. That's all I'd say. He's the best in the business.
Is Nigel Owens a better referee than Austin Healy was a rugby player? Not comparable.
The other thing, of course, you heard us talking about to Austin Healy and Ben Kay right then was Rugby Oki. And, that moves us nicely on to Rugby Oki. This is where we celebrate rugby players who love to sing, and there are a surprising amount of them, a lot of them. We thought this was just going to be Alex Corbisiero rapping.
Mm. Keep it kind of quiet, people on a diet. Scrum is straight, term is right, I don't deny it. Test me, try it, style you don't buy it. I'ma grab the
mic. So do the whole thing.
Fly it, up high, grab the mic and make you cry. Told you before we represent L.I. London Irish, you can't deny this. So sick, attendance, you can't buy this.
Thought it was just going to be that, and we thought it was just going to be Ben Foden, but it turned out Matt Stevens.
Oh, big
Ricky
news!
Flutie.
Big news!
Yeah,
Austin Healy's doing Splash, the diving thing.
Yeah,
right. So is Una Foden.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. I mean, I'm not interested in seeing Una Foden in a swimsuit. I'm just interested in her form when she's diving.
Oh, absolutely.
Back to Rugby Oki, and the latest person who not only loves to sing has done it on live television. And has a really good voice is Damian Varley, the Munster hooker. He's in the Irish squad as well. And here he is on live Saturday night television in Ireland a couple of months ago singing Lean On Me.
Lean on me.
Ooh, he's good.
When you're not strong, I'll be your friend. I'll help you.
Matt Stevens-esque, that, wasn't it?
He's got a pair of pipes, hasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, very good.
So well done, Damian Varley. And there you go, that's your latest instalment of Rugby Oki, which I'll post a little link to the video of that at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Now, he plays for Munster, which sort of leads nicely into the Heineken Cup, which happened over the weekend. So we'll talk at a bit more length over this ahead of the final round of matches in our Friday podcast. But pick of the weekend, then, from the Heineken Cup. Go on, Phil.
For me, the Cast Leinster game,
really?
I thought was really good. I really enjoyed that. Some great tries and some good offloading play, good hard running. The two kind of standout players I thought were Lamarat, the inside centre for Cast, who looked really, really good and scored a try right at the end, and was practically in tears at the end because them losing meant that they're basically out. If they'd have won that game, they could have...
Saturday's game?
Yes, Saturday afternoon. It was the alternative game to Harlequins Claremont, which was also a great game.
Well, I mean, I watched the Saracens game. Do you see that?
Yeah.
I thought Saracens game was absolutely awesome.
Brutal.
Yeah, that's exactly what it
was. Brutal is the word.
That's how men play rugby. Yeah. Oh, the scrimmaging. I enjoy watching the scrimmage, but you know, it's, I've never seen scrimmaging which looked that painful. It just looked, when those front rows came up, I think it was like second half and the front rows started coming up, I just felt that someone was going to get severely injured. It looked awful.
And of that game, Louis Picamoles. Oh, my word.
Oh, personal hero of mine.
The man is, yeah, man is a beast.
He is, isn't he?
He's humongous, isn't he? He's incredible.
But Phil pointed out something quite interesting, which was the Toulouse pack was how much lighter?
Half a stone a man.
Half a stone a man. Whereas that size, because if you think about Saracens, I don't think about Saracens as a massive pack, do
All it? In Billy Vanapola's
yeah.
bum.
They've got
a powerful core, hasn't he?
They've got three guys over 20 stone. The two Vunipolas and James Johnson,
Johnson's playing like against his 21. Bigger brother, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's true.
So that cancels out him.
They've got the two lightweight flankers,
yeah,
though, haven't they?
Yeah. But it's such a typical Toulouse team, which is they've got huge strength and depth. They've got a smattering of internationals, and then out of nowhere they've got, you know, the France under 20 scrum half / fly half slotting kicks.
Yeah,
so they look like a good outfit. And then, can we also just talk a little bit about Owen Farrell? Looked completely out of his depth.
I don't agree
with that.
Do you not think?
No.
When they had the ball, second half, down to 14 men, and they're in
I saw you choosing to take the Egg Chasers collective Twitter account and start doing quite derogatory tweets about Owen Farrell.
Did you delete them, Tim?
No, I didn't delete them. I didn't see them in time.
I've only seen the first half, but I thought we played well.
My pick of the weekend would be Harlequins, kind of heroic in defeat. It's kind of the Quins' way, isn't it, to be gallant losers,
yeah,
really?
They
right.
threw it away, though.
They did.
13-3 up at half-time, and then were winning because they were playing rugby all over the pitch. But instead of like using their experience and when they had that 10-point lead, kicking corners, controlling the game, they continued to play rugby in their own half. And ended up getting turned over, losing ball, and Clermont eventually
stupidly lost. Like, well, again, the bounce of the ball got in Mike Brown's way. I suppose you can forgive him that. But that penalty at the end, it's like, deal with it. You're in your 22, 5 minutes to go. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Get territory. And they messed about too much in their own 22, penalty against.
Yeah, and they did play some really good rugby.
There was something which went up on Twitter, which you put up, Tim, and I'm interested to find out exactly what it was like in the flesh. Did you attend the Dean Ryan press conference?
I did.
How was it?
I like Dean Ryan.
I didn't ask for an appraisal of Dean Ryan's character.
He was searching for the positives and was focusing on...
Where did he look?
Was focusing on the young players in his team that are developing and talking about it being a five-year plan and... all of the things he's been saying all season.
Oh, wow. Fancy that.
Yeah.
That's a bad loss. Yeah, it's a bad loss because it's one of those things where you might be able to win a different competition and kickstart your season.
But it's only the Amlin Challenge Cup. I mean, I'm sure he's totally focusing on the Premiership, rightly so. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll talk at more length about the Heineken Cup because it has set up the final round of matches with some people having nothing to play for, some people having everything to play for. So we'll talk about that in Friday's podcast. But back to BT Sport. We were guests at the filming of Rugby Tonight last Wednesday, and very soon you're going to hear JB and Phil's debut on television as Welsh fans and experts. JB is a native, well, not native, but he is a Welshman, mm-hmm, living in England. Phil, have you got any connection to Wales at all?
He knows me.
Yes, I've got a few Welsh friends.
Okay, good. And we got some time with Paul Grayson, and we spent a bit of time with him. And at the halfway point in the Premiership season, we asked Paul Grayson, how did he rank the fly halves in the Premiership, and first, who he thought would make it into the top four coming the end of the regular season. We've picked all the same, three of the same teams, Saracens, Northampton, Bath, and then we all disagree on the fourth team. How do you see the top four panning out?
I would not bet against the top four without Leicester.
Do you think the other three, do you agree with those?
Yes, I do. Mm. And I think Leicester have got half a team to come back in. I watched them for BT Sport last weekend, and that's the first time I can remember both their props playing 80 minutes in a game for, I couldn't think how many seasons that has been. That shows where they are squad wise, but the players they got to come back in, I think Leicester will come with a late season surge.
So who do you think coming back into the team now is going to make the biggest impact?
Tuilagi. of course.
Yeah.
Sheer physical presence and go forward. And that is a little bit of what they've lacked all season. And also, he isn't the forgotten man amongst the rugby fraternity, because we all know how good a player he is, Anthony Allen. It makes a massive difference.
I agree with that.
That's a good shout.
Because they've had Gneva playing 13, who's really a winger, and Bowden playing 12, who isn't really a 12.
He's a Kiwi 12. He's a 10 stroke 12, a little bit like Floody was at
Grace,
the weekend.
Of that four, pick your winner then. Come on then.
It's hard to... the playoffs make it tricky. I mean, Northampton got to the final last year but finished a distant fourth in the league, but absolutely ambushed Saracens in the semis. So once you get there, if everyone's fully fit squads, hard to bet against Northampton, to be perfectly honest, because they've invested heavily, and they're like George North can win a game of his own. So it's absolutely tight. If you're asking me to spend my own money on a bet, I'd probably go with Saracens at a pinch.
One thing we wanted to ask you, as a former international 10, is, as far as you can, rank the Premiership 10s in some sort of order. We put Nick Evans at the top. Is that how you'd see it?
Okay. Yeah, well, in terms of, depending on what your ranking system's about, in terms of skill sets, I think there are a couple who can match him in terms of actual delivery and record and credibility over a long period. He would have to be top, but I think we've got some lads who will be who aren't far behind him.
Well, my criteria for this is, you've got the World Cup final tomorrow, you've got a match which you need to win tomorrow, who would you go with
out of the Premiership? I'm not available.
That was our choice.
Yes, well done, lads. Who would I go with out of the Premiership? Yeah, out and out of playoff, it would be Nick Evans, yeah.
Done. Okay. But Paul Grayson has spoken.
When I first started watching rugby, like club rugby, it was the year that Northampton won the Heineken Cup final. Now, there was a thing about Northampton then, which was that the first trophy that they ever won was the Heineken Cup. Is that actually true?
Well, prior to that, over, they say, 120 years history, only won one major cup, bearing in mind there's only been a handful of cups to play for, and that wasn't over 120 years. So they hadn't won the league, they hadn't won the John Player Cup or the Pilkington Cup, we'd been to two or three finals, hadn't won the second-tier European Championship. So bar the second division title, which I suppose is a trophy of sorts, one you want to forget, that's the only one.
Oh, wow.
At that point, yeah.
Fact.
There we go. Confirmed.
Ending with a fact.
Excellent.
Paul, thanks so much for your time. We'll catch you a bit later.
No worries, man. Cheers.
That was Paul Grayson having an natter to us backstage at the filming of Rugby Tonight last week. So he was a nice chat, wasn't he?
He was awesome. I was delighted when they said that we were going to have Paul Grayson join us. Well, I asked the question, and part of it was, when I first started watching rugby, I genuinely mean Paul Grayson used to be one of my favourite players. Don't know why, he just was.
He was one of those sort of players that did everything really well, but he didn't have any sort of showmanship or glamour about what he did. It's quite interesting to hear someone that he was your favourite player.
I don't think
he would be many people's favourite player, would he?
One of. I think what it was is I watched an England game. I think he got the record for points for one game or something.
Bearing in mind you really dislike Owen Farrell, I find it quite interesting that you really like
Paul Grayson.
Hang on, they're
completely different players.
No, I'd say they're quite similar.
You never saw Paul Grayson strutting around trying to start fights, pushing everyone around.
Paul Grayson ranked the fly halves, and that was one of the big contentious talking points in the EPS squad that Stuart Lancaster selected. Do you think Stuart Lancaster got it right?
It's interesting you say that, because you've seen the squads, haven't you?
Yeah.
So he's effectively picked two squads, and I've got a little present for both of you.
Phil's just handed us a piece of paper. It's colour-coded.
Which is the two squads. So it's on the left, the Six Nations squad, which is 35, and on the right, the EPS squad, which is 33.
Yeah.
And I've then colour-coded the differences. So
you do have a job, yeah? You're not just getting dressed in your suit in the morning and spending the day in the park.
This is my job, podcasting.
this is some good work.
So the EPS, generally people who are in the EPS but not in the Six Nations are injured. Corbisiero, Croft, Parlin, Wilson. Yard, Wade, Tuolagi and Foden. But Burns is not injured. Burns played on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
However, he's in the main, like the bigger long-term squad, but he's not in the short-term Six Nations squad.
I think I know the answer to this.
And Myler's in the short-term squad. Like, if I needed someone to come in at 10 in the Six Nations, Stephen Myler, you might be my man, but Freddie Burns, sorry, I don't want you now.
Which is kind of exactly what I said last week. I said Burns might be one for the future. Give him some time to rediscover his form at Gloucester before putting him back in the England shirt. That list, everyone in the EPS squad who's not in the Six Nations squad is injured.
He's injured, except for Freddie Burns.
Yeah. So that's...
He's the only player who's retained a place in the EPS squad.
Yeah, but...
Who is fit. Who isn't in the Six Nations squad.
Yeah.
Which is peculiar.
Yeah.
It's an anomaly. So do you think basically what Stuart Lancaster's doing is saying, on form, Freddie, you're not good enough now, but I'm not going to cast you...
Yeah.
Into the wilderness.
It wouldn't be the decision I would make.
No, me neither.
But I can understand his thinking.
So what do we think it is with Burns? Do you reckon the...
I think it's as simple as that. It's you're not good enough for my Six Nations. If I had one injury, I wouldn't want to put you on the bench, Freddie Byrne. You're not playing well enough.
Do you think he's...
But he's not casting him out.
Do you think he's upset the powers that be? Because there's a lot of people talking about him now in regards to transfers and that kind of thing.
Freddie Burns? Nah.
Well...
He's not doing anything wrong.
Well, I mean, it's been all over the papers.
He's out of contract. Players are allowed to move.
Yeah, who's going to get annoyed at that? Look at Henry Thomas. He's in the Six Nations squad.
But he has strong links to a move to Bath for him.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't know. It can't be that.
The Six Nations squad, quickly, who's playing 13?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Because Tuilagi drops, who was the 13 in the EPS squad, drops out and Burrell comes in. Mm. And Burrell is a 12. And he plays all his rugby at 12, and he's playing alongside Barrett, 12, Eastman, 12, 12 Trees, 12.
Is Barrett injured? Tompkins.
Tompkins is injured. So the obvious choice would have been Jonathan Joseph, who's playing really well at Bath, scoring tries, his defence is good, his all-round game looks good, but they've strangely chosen a fourth 12.
That is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting to see how England line up. Well, we can preview that a little bit more in the podcast in a couple of weeks' time, just before the Six Nations gets underway.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. Kvesic's made it as well.
Yeah.
That's something interesting about being down at BT Sport. Like, Ben Kay and Austin Healey, and all the guys kind of laugh and joke and take the mickey out of each other, but they won't slag off any of the players who are currently playing. For form or whatever, they would either not mention something or be positive about them. Like
yes,
when they were working through the England shirts and some of the players there who haven't been playing well, they just kind of glossed over it rather than what we do.
Well, I suppose we haven't got to say hey, welcome to the programme, Matt Kvesic.
Yeah,
we will look ahead to the Six Nations, and you mentioned BT there. Phil, yeah, we were guests of BT Sport at Rugby Tonight. And
why did we mention that?
And you've already heard from Paul Grayson, and you've already heard from Ben Kay and Austin Healey.
Hi, I'm Austin Healey, and it's time to clear a few things up on the Egg Chasers podcast.
I'm Kay.
Ben Kay is going to be delighted with that.
That's Austin Healey. And you're going to hear the finale of today's programme is going to be Phil and JB making their turn as Welsh rugby experts on Rugby Tonight. However, right, as we're on that, let's pick a dream team then. This is where we select a topic and then pick a 15. We can rattle through this pretty quickly, I reckon.
Yep.
But a pundit and commentary 15. So this is made up of former players who are now in the media.
Lou said. David Flatman.
David Flatman, straight in. Stuart Barnes could probably work as a prop.
He probably could.
Do you know what, right? Because I don't really remember Stuart Barnes playing. The first exposure I had to Stuart Barnes was on the rugby club. And I would swear down, looking at him on the rugby club, that he was a forward.
Yeah. Did you see, just very quickly, David Flatman's tweet during the Ospreys-Northampton game?
Nope.
When the Northampton scrum was completely overpowering the Ospreys scrum, and Ryan Bevington was just... going back at rate of knots and got a yellow card.
Mm-hmm.
Flatman tweeted, he's not done anything wrong there. There's no penalty for just being beaten in the scrum.
By the way, disclaimer here, I got battered for three or four scrums this weekend, so I know the feeling. What are they penalising? Tim, you're the resident ref. What are they penalising?
If someone's collapsing it,
if they're collapsing or they're standing up or they're deliberately turning, but if they're just walking backwards, you're right. Yeah. There's no law against that.
You got a yellow card effectively for that.
Another prop then. Paul Wallace, I quite like.
Yeah.
Fine by me.
Tight head. Paul Wallace was a tight head, wasn't he?
Yeah.
What about hooker? Because you've got plenty of options now.
Yes, we have got options at hooker. Now, instantly springs to mind would be Keith Wood.
Yeah.
Sean Fitzpatrick?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I quite like. Have you noticed his little gammy little finger? He's got a little finger.
Sean Fitzpatrick.
He's got a little finger that points down and off to the side, like he's got no tendon in it.
My old PE teacher had like these two fingers, which kind of went like the opposite way to his hand. They were horrible.
Right angles to the rest of the fingers.
Yeah.
Any more? A hooker? No one said the one that the elephant in the room.
Who?
Brian Moore.
Oh, of course, Brian Moore.
And they kicked it away again.
Toby Flood.
God's sake!
Walter Lucy.
Brian Moore would be worth putting in purely for these sort of comments.
Why is he even doing there? You're a fullback. Get me on the back line.
But
he's so impartial, isn't he?
I can't have him in. Can we have Keith Wood?
Over Sean Fitzpatrick?
I don't know, actually. No, Sean Fitzpatrick, actually.
Yeah, I like Sean Fitzpatrick.
Go on, then.
And Rafael Ibanez wasn't bad.
Sean Fitzpatrick's in.
Yeah, okay, done.
What would Brian Moore say to us putting Sean Fitzpatrick in Pundit 15?
I don't know, Phil. What would what would he say?
Why is he even doing there? God's sake!
All right, okay, so into the locks then. The locks, they pick themselves, don't they? It's the BT Sport duo of Bafes and Kay, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Bayfield, what a man.
A bit disappointed he wasn't there.
Well, I said to one of the producers, I was very impressed with Austin and Ben Kay when they did a double act kind of after dinner speaking thing. I've said that before on the podcast. And they said, oh, well, the best guy at that is Bayfield. He is awesome.
He did the BT Sport Christmas party court session.
Well,
kangaroo
court session.
Christmas court session and apparently just ruined everyone in the room. Right, back row then. We can rattle through this. What about Scotty Quinnell for some of his rousing speeches?
Okay.
Basically, he's just like a clown now, isn't he? He's like, right, and now we're going to go to Scott for his big rousing pre-match talk-up. This is the young moment. Accent.
You got to have the passion, the belief.
You got to believe you can do it.
Hard Knocks makes me laugh. There isn't an episode that goes by where he didn't say, I couldn't read, I couldn't write. Yes, Scott, but you're 18 stone and man mountain. You can pummel people in the face.
So,
you don't need to read and write.
Other contenders would be Loris Dallaglio, 8. Come on.
He could play 6, like I've said he could.
I quite like Scott Quinnell, as long as you don't want any analysis or anything like that out of him.
You don't want any analysis and you don't want to win.
You've got enough analysis in that that 1-7 so far.
Fine.
So Scott Quinnell and Loris Dallaglio, 6 and 8. And who gets 7? Is it Alan Quinlan? Pat Sanderson?
Sanderson's a good solid 7.
Pat Sanderson, good 7. And then Scott Quinnell, Loris Dallaglio into the backs then. Right, this is the debate. Dawson or Healy? In rugby, throughout their career, the choice is always Dawson over Healy. But what's it to be, Healy or Dawson?
If it's not broke, don't fix it. It's Dawson.
You reckon?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's your favourite of the two.
Actually, I do prefer Healy as a pundit.
Healy's funny.
And he's certainly better than Dowie Morris.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Dowie Morris.
Everyone forgets what Dowie
again,
Morris
is. Another contender for a forward. Prop. Yeah. Prop. Stuart Barnes, Dowie Morris.
Yeah, what are Sky feeding those two?
I want to get to their canteen. It looks great.
Healy would be my choice.
Yeah, I'd pick Healy over Dawson. There you go, Austin.
Finally, a win.
You've got picked.
You've done it.
You might have. You came second in Strictly Come Dancing, and Dawson got the Lions Test victory.
What about Andy
Dawson
Nichol?
Got the World Cup. Andy Nichol's a good shout.
Andy Nichol's another one, and he also played on the Lions tour when he shouldn't have been there. I think he's a baggage handler or something. That's not a joke.
Austin Healy is our 9. Fly half then. So Stuart Barnes then, yeah. Michael Liner, Jonathan Davies.
He could potentially fill in at fullback. He played there a league a bit.
Oh, we might need him to, actually.
Yes, true.
All right, so it's Jonathan Davies, unless we need a fullback. All right, centres.
Will Greenwood.
Captain.
Yeah.
With Jeremy Guscott.
Jerry Guscott.
Yeah, go on then.
Guscott and Greenwood.
Because hang on, there's not another...
That'd be a great, like, great actual team centre partnership. Yeah. As well. Yeah. Can you think of a better 12-13 axis?
Well, here's the thing, right?
In England's recent history,
yeah, all time greatest.
Well, here's the thing: you only become a pundit if you were a good player. So by definition, this team might be the best one which have actually picked in their prime.
I know what you're saying. This 15 would probably, in a match, beat any of our other 15s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wingers then. Yian Evans on one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shane Horgan.
Oh no.
Yeah, I don't particularly like him as a pundit.
Thank you.
I don't mind him.
David Campisi. More Australian. It doesn't really do anything for us.
I quite like him making you. He just makes your blood boil.
He winds everyone up.
But he's quite good like that. He's sort of the. Like as Austin Healey is to Welsh people, David Campisi is to Englishmen.
Yeah.
And apparently he was quite good as a player.
He was all right. He was a bit tidy. So David Camp, one of the all-time greats, David Campisi and Yian Evans on the wings and fullback. Do we go like a Tinus Delport or do you actually just move? Do you go
move Jonathan Davis?
Move
round,
Jonathan or... Davis to fullback and then who do you have at fly half then? Michael Liner.
Yeah, do that.
Liner. Not a terrible decision, is it?
Yeah, Liner at 10, Jonathan Davis at fullback.
That's a good pundit 15, that. Good work. And now for the main event, the finale. We picked the pundit 15 this week as our dream team because we have a BT Sports special on the podcast. We were there at the filming of Rugby Tonight. And, so JB managed to worm his way onto the telly by just going and telling Austin Healey and Matt Dawson in the rehearsals who should be on the board for the Welsh team.
I picked that team.
So then Sarah Elgin went, all right, well, you can talk about Wales then. She went...
Yes, Sarah.
And then JB managed to go, I'll tell you what, Phil can talk about Wales as well, even though he's not Welsh.
Yeah. Any Welsh fans?
The only person that didn't talk was the person whose profession is talking. I was very upset that Craig Doyle wasn't there.
Mm.
Very upset.
It's a shame.
Well, yeah, you got Sarah Elgin though.
That is true.
And the zip on her skirt was coming down.
Was it?
Yeah. Did you
did you tell her?
No. She had a point right where she couldn't do the zip, and BT Sport had burst in all the fans for the show. She goes around and goes, "Can someone just help me with my zip?" And there was nearly a riot, nearly an actual riot. I'll help.
Well, this is it. This is the moment. So Sarah Elgin had just done a little report on the state of Welsh rugby, and then she came to some Welsh experts and fans. This is JB's moment. How are you feeling before this, JB?
Terrified.
It's scary, isn't
terrified.
It?
Terrified. I've not done anything even remotely similar. So, pretty nervous.
This podcast is a bit different because if we get something wrong, we could just edit it out.
Yeah.
Whereas this was live to... the rugby nation.
Yeah.
Mm. You did all right, mate. You did all right.
Thanks, boss.
Okay, well, have we got any Welsh fans in the audience? Ah, there
one.
You are.
Yeah, one.
Me, two. Right, what do you make of the whole situation at the moment?
I should probably give a little bit of context. So, JB, you were going to be asked about what do you make of all the Welsh people leaving Wales?
Which I obviously think is a great idea. Okay, but nobody else thinks
quite
this.
A controversial position
thinks,
to
nobody
take.
Nobody thinks about it, right? They just get asked this stock question and the stock answer is, oh, it's terrible. But it's not terrible. It's actually a really, really good thing.
Well, I was actually... Because I was stood behind you and I could see Austin Healey and I was watching Austin Healy's face, and when you first started talking, his face screwed up like he was smelling a fart. By the end of you talking, I've got to say, he was sort of like eyebrows raised and just nodding
this
like he can see your
stuff.
Point. Actually, do you know what?
I wish
you've made me think a bit differently about that.
OK, well, have we got any Welsh fans in the audience? Ah, there
one.
You are.
Yeah,
one. Me, two. Right, what do you make of the whole situation at the moment?
I think it's brilliant. We've got a whole team here which have been played big wages. We get them out paying France, England. In the meantime, we've got guys like Pratchell who get game time. Would we see Jordan Williams playing now if Lee Byrne was still in Wales? No, it's great. In fact... long should it continue?
Are you being sarcastic?
No, absolutely not. We've got all these guys here now being paid, top cash. To me, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, they're still going to be available for international window. They might not be available for the week after. The week before. I'd rather have good players not as easily available than not so good players available.
Do you want to debrief, critique your own performance there, JB?
I've took my headphones off because... Is it finished now? Good. yeah.
He was squirming listening to that.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. Why don't I just stop? I made a good point. Everyone is convinced to
my
mate,
I have to edit the podcast. I know only too well that that's what happens.
Yeah, and then it's carried on.
I did really like... when she asked, "Are you being sarcastic?"
Are you being sarcastic? Well, she genuinely didn't know if you were taking the mick on it.
I should have. I mean, I suppose if you're South Wales and you've supported those teams throughout your life, I mean, it's kind of like if you supported Leicester Tigers and all of a sudden all of their players go. But a really good example involves Leicester Tigers, which is, shouldn't one of the prime positions in English rugby be held by a young Englishman, not a young Welshman? Which is the case now with Leicester Tigers' 10 shirt.
Yeah.
You know? And that's exactly what I mean.
I get your point, actually. Potentially Owen Williams is going to get primed for international rugby by playing at Leicester Tigers.
Exactly. And you know, I think that pretty much settles my case.
I think it's an example of where it's, well, working to Wales' advantage and working against the other countries.
Mm.
But there would be more benefit, or there would be benefits of having,
because we have
all those players playing in Wales.
Now, Phil, your moment.
Oh, no.
This is Sarah Elgin coming to you.
Oh, listen to this. I'm happy to listen to this. Not as easily available, then, you know, not so good players available.
I don't agree with you. I want my kids to grow up watching Welsh players playing their rugby in Wales. Oh, right. So what do you think of the situation?
Yeah, I agree.
With me or with your mate?
With you.
Yeah.
unless there can be a George North-style deal where they're available for the international window, particularly like before the Six Nations and then the break window in the Six Nations.
Okay, well, it's just going to go on and on.
Oh, there you go, Phil. 10 out of 10 for brevity. You got to your point. You made
it. Exactly.
I thought you both did really well.
Oh, thank you, Tim.
It is scary. You said to me afterwards, Tim, did you get the adrenaline rush?
Mm.
Oh, my God, did I? Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Well done, guys.
Thank you, Tim.
Cheers, Tim.
Have either of you ever been on TV before that?
Have I?
No.
I have a feeling I might have.
Were you not on School of Hard Knocks?
Oh, yeah, I've been on School of Hard Knocks playing, but I wasn't speaking.
I've, when was I on?
Do it every morning?
Telly. Yeah, well, I'm on the radio every morning, yeah, but that's a bit different. It never made it to telly. Do you remember like there was Ibiza Uncovered?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there was University Uncovered that was a TV show that was being made that was going around to universities and just going on people's nights out, and they wanted me on it to down a pint because I'm a bit swift.
Oh, you told me that.
And I can't believe they cut that.
It never made it to telly.
Oh, the
series. Whole programme never made it to television.
I remember watching Ibiza Uncovered when I was 13, thinking it was the best programme ever. I couldn't wait to get to Ibiza. I've never been.
There you go, you've still got dreams, JB, still got dreams to fulfil. We'll be back on Friday for a podcast looking ahead to the final round of matches of the Heineken Cup in the pool stages. It should be a really, really exciting crescendo to that one, so we'll see you Friday for that. Well, go on then, JB, as you took the starring role there, you can pick the song that we get played out to as you had your controversial and well-put point to Sarah Elgin live on telly.
Can we have the Munster changing room?
Yeah.
That is genuinely my favourite.
There you go. We'll see you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.